Unnamed engineer.
Dude, no.
Hit me with that deck of yeah.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Old habits die hard. What's cracking? Welcome to the program. You got to see the humor in that, right? My name is Jim Rome. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. All right, then. Big day. That's why I asked my unnamed fellow XR4TIer to hit me with a deck of yeah, because it's a big day. Wednesday is always a big day for a number of reasons. And let me lay it out for you. We have a good hump day show. Wednesday is always a good thing. Once you get over that hump day, then it's downhill. On top of that, I've got three really good interviews. In addition to those three interviews, I've got a beef segment. If you've been paying attention to my social media platforms this morning, I've been hyping the beef. The reason I'm hyping the beef segment is we are doing it early today. I want to make sure you get in. This is really important. That's my top priority. I've got really good interviews, some really good takes, some really good information, some genius insight. I mean, it's mine, right? But my top priority in hour number one is the beef segment. We normally do not do it in hour one. So what I need from you is to get going right now. Hit me up with a beef. 1-800-636-8686. We're doing it at 9:40. 9:40 Pacific time, 12:40 Eastern time. You know how the beef segment works. Hit me up, but get in here early. I'm trying to get you to mobilize yourself. Get your thoughts together. I don't care what your beef is. It can be on anything at all. Sports, non-sports, work, non-work, family, friends, professional, personal, life. I don't give a damn. I'm here for it. But you got to get it in early. There are two ways to get it in. You can call your beef in, 1-800-636-8686. You can hit me up on Twitter with a beef, at Jim Rome. And I've hit you both on Twitter, and I even dropped an Instagram story soliciting beef. All right, have I made that clear? That's a top priority. That's important for me. We are down a member of the XR4TI, so we're running short. So I'm looking for your help there. The beef segment's coming up at 9:40. So in addition to that, we start our interviews in the second hour, and we've got some really good ones. Rex Hoggard, one of the famous members of the Rex Streak, is going to join me at the top of hour number two. Rex Hoggard, Golf Channel. Coming up in the second hour as well, Jungle Friend, Dodgers manager Dave Roberts. Coming up at the top of hour number three, another Jungle Friend, Dana White, president of the UFC. It's Wednesday, so there is that ATP and the beef segment, and I've got an episode of the Jim Rome podcast. We are up to episode 190, former NFLer Dante Whitner. Played his college ball at the Ohio State. I love this guy, actually. Haven't talked to him in a long time. Love him because of the way he played, the way he laid the wood, brought the lumber, and played for a couple of my favorite NFL franchises. In fact, a number of my NFL franchises, favorite ones. How's that for a setup? That's how the Wednesday show looks. Not only am I setting you up for a good Wednesday show, I want to start off with a little fun off the top. Normally, I go hard news. Normally, I go with the most topical. I'd actually like to have a little fun on this Wednesday off the top. Why don't we start with Conor McGregor? He was at Wrigley last night to throw out the first pitch and to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Now, if you've been anywhere near Twitter or a TV, you've probably already seen that first pitch. If you haven't, I'm here to tell you, it was awesome. Yeah, I said it. It was awesome. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network right now, I'm going to play it. There is no audio, unfortunately. So those of you listening along should either look it up on your phone or just trust me when I tell you it is one of the all-time great first pitches.
Awesome.
My man is rolling out to the mound, dressed to the nines, looking like a total boss. Because, of course, my dude David August hooked him up. Now, I don't want to take credit for this. It's not like I hooked David August up with Conor McGregor, but I take great pride in my relationship with David August. In fact, he was at my house the other day. getting me set up for the NFL season, getting me set up for my radio look, because we hadn't done that in a little while because of the pandemic. So I've known David August for a number of years. I have done business with David August for a number of years. I did business with him prior to a lot of the super wealthy, rich people you see on TV who do business with him. Much more important than me. So I take a lot of pride in that fact. I've been rocking those suits since way back in the day, like JRIB back in the day, way, way, way back in the day. And my point is, I can always tell somebody is a David August client. I know right when I see them on TV, right when I see them in public, I know, because they look like a million. Look good, feel good, feel good, do whatever it is you do well. And Connor did. So Connor rolls out, takes the bump, toes the rubber, looking like a filthy lefty, just owning it, loosens his shoulder some and uncorks one. I mean, that thing that he uncorks goes nowhere near home plate. It goes flying at the backstop and nearly takes out some innocent fans between home plate and the dugout. Now, here's the thing. If you're looking for me to do that extremely tired thing where I rank that with 50 Cent, Mariah Carey, the mayor of Cincinnati, and Carly Rae Jepsen spiking the ball directly into the ground. If you're looking for me to do that, man, just keep moving. Keep right on moving. You see, Connor, that pitch, that was pure genius. This guy is a viral marketing legend. One of the best to ever do it. And that's what that was all about. If this guy shows up and he fires a P right down the middle, what's that get him? Absolutely nothing. Who would ever even care or remember that? Absolutely nobody.
Absolutely nobody.
This is what I'm saying. He knows that. If this guy goes to Wrigley in a good-looking suit and goes mid-90s and paints the black, I wouldn't be talking about that today. That wouldn't have made the show, much less The Open. I would not be talking about that today, and nobody else would either. And you know he hates that. Just as you know, he's not having that. Instead, he shows up and he pretends like he's trying to hit the catcher's glove, and he damn near throws it out of the stadium altogether. And he gets retweets, and he gets likes, and he gets viral run like a boss. This is how you do it. You see, the old way of throwing out a first pitch is to actually throw a good first pitch. The new way and the best way is to throw a terrible first pitch. It used to be that if you showed up and you didn't throw a great first pitch, it was embarrassing. Now if you throw a great first pitch, it's almost as embarrassing because nobody remembers it. Nobody.
You want
to maximize your exposure? Then you better throw something that hits the screen behind the home plate. Better yet, buzz an umpire. No, better yet, knock out some unsuspecting pedestrian's eye on the street. Connor knows this. He knows it. Check out the in-game interview with him about that first pitch.
Sitting now with Connor McGregor, who threw out the first pitch. Connor, I'm not going to waste any time. Your first pitch. Tell me your thoughts.
The most devastating first pitch ever seen in the iconic Wrigley Field.
So, I say this pitch is a little high. You say it's perfect.
Well, the venom is there. The power is there. It's a little off accurate-wise, but, you know, I'm on the one leg. You can see me base fully on the left leg that was just recently injured. I'm happy with that. I'll take that on board, yeah?
Because you were saying that you call it the venom, the power. I say you call it velo, right?
Velo, yeah. Well, if you could measure the power, I don't think there was much power difference between mine and them out there. Just the accuracy is a little off, but...
Just a little off.
I'm happy with it. It was either a little bit friendly... Or, you know, aim to take him off his feet. And if that was on target, we would have had a problem, I'd say.
Does this dude get it or what? I mean, that's perfect. Perfect execution and then an even better explanation. Quote, the most did he sound like he was embarrassed, this guy? He was ecstatic. He was euphoric. And I am even listening to him describe it. The most devastating first pitch ever seen. He's right. The venom is there. The power is there. And those are the two things that you want most of all. Trust me, anybody who has ever thrown out that first ball knows that. I know, I did it. I've been there. I did it in front of a huge stadium. Four people. I did it at the old Jack Murphy Stadium way back in the day in San Diego. I'll never forget it. I came out of the dugout right before I took the bump. Janet grabs me and she says, and she's the most supportive person in the world. She says, and I swear, and I quote, "Please, honey, don't embarrass the family." Yeah, thanks, babe. So I go out there and I hit the spot. Then I come back and she says, "I am so proud of you." Yeah, but I knew better. I knew better. I didn't do my job. I knew my pitch lacked venom and it lacked power, just as Connors knew that he had it. That guy, does that guy sound embarrassed by that pitch? Of course not. Because he had a plan, and he worked that plan, and he worked it to perfection. So if he had stopped right there, he had a good night. It's a win. He won that day. But he didn't stop right there. He wasn't done for the night. He still had the seventh inning stretch and a chance to sing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game." So if he had that good of a plan for throwing out the first ball, as you might imagine, he again did the damn thing, and he dominated the seventh inning stretch as well.
What's up, Chicago? The mic is back, and so are the Cubs. Let's go, Chicago Cubs! I'm here with Mateo, here with Kira. We're going to sing the song. Let's go. 1, 2, 3. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. So let's root, root the Cubbies. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the
All right, so here's my review of that performance. The venom was there. The power was there. And again, the tired thing here is to crush somebody for how they butchered that song. I mean, I could play clips from Jeff Gordon.
Jeff Gordon!
Hi, Chicago. It's great to be here at Wrigley Stadium. You guys ready to do this? 1, 2, 3. Take.
I mean, I can jump in there and say, "Are you guys ready to do this?" You obviously weren't, my man. But I'm not going to do that. Or I could mix in Mike Ditka with his speed metal version of it. Like, Mike, why are you so angry? They love you. But I'm not doing that. Or I can mix in Scott Pippen.
To the ball. I don't care if
I'm not going to point out a Chicago icon. How does that cheapskate show up like that? But I'm not going to. That's not what this is about. I'm not even going to get into how challenging that song is. How hard it is to sing in that context. Into that mic. Into that stadium. With those acoustics. Nor am I going to get into the fact that Connor probably never even heard that song before in his entire life. And he's out there just selling it and nailing it. He's out there singing about Cracker Jacks. And he's selling out. I bet that guy's never even heard that song before. No, and don't come in here and clown him for his accent for when he was counting it down. And don't tell me he sucks as a singer. I'm telling you, I thought that was great. I thought that was tremendous. He had so much venom, so much power. Like, you hear a guy yelling words with no rhythm or meter, I hear a marketing genius. I'll tell you what it's not about. It's not about showing up and singing that song perfectly and hitting every single note. Who cares about that? You take that bullcrap and you go on one of those talent shows that are on every single night of the week. That I pride myself in never having once seen. If this guy shows up sounding like Freddie Mercury, does that get buzz? Does that move product? Does that sell tickets for his next fight? Of course not. The better approach is to get up there, come absolutely nowhere near the correct notes and get people to talk. And Connor did just that. Think about it. Matt Nagy butchered his delivery of the words back in the day, and I'm still talking about it. I was still talking about it this week.
To the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
I'm still talking about that. He did the whole thing yesterday, the review on the field. Did in fact show that he said penis, but there was not enough evidence to overturn. Fact of the matter is, not only am I still talking about him doing that, I'm going to argue that that's the best thing that guy's done since arriving in Chicago. So nothing but, and I'm talking about Nagy, that's the best thing that guy's done since arriving in Chicago, that song. So, nothing but respect for Connor. He nailed it. The venom is there. The power is there. There are some things that Connor has done that I will never defend. I mean, some pretty despicable things. Pretty reprehensible things. But I've got his back all day long on this one. This is the dude that at one time had the entire world looking at him, reacting to him, responding to him, eating out of the palm of his hand. Because that dude used to crack dudes and put them to sleep. And did so with venom and power. And he knew how to put on a show. Whether or not he can still do the former is questionable. But the latter is still intact. And I'm here for it. Because he just proved he can still win the day and the internet. So good job. Good job, Connor. Good effort.
Good job.
I wonder if on the way to the bump, I wonder if Connor's wife hit him with, do not embarrass the family. Because short of a pigeon flying on a direct collision course with Connor's first pitch, you really can't throw a more memorable first pitch.
Hey.
Maybe Connor's right. Maybe Connor was right the last time we saw him and he was on the mat with a shattered foot, screaming, this is not over.
This is not over.
Not the greatest look at the time. But I don't know, man. Maybe if I'm Dustin Poirier, I'm not sure I want any of this smoke now.
So
I don't know how you saw it. I don't know how you saw it, but that's how I saw it. And that was my point of view. And in this case, my point of view is the correct point of view. Or you can just go the other way and do like everybody else and try and rank it. Hey, why don't we rank that first pitch among some of the worst? Fine, you can. I'm here to tell you that was a great thing. 1-800-636-8686. Another reason why that was a great thing, if I don't do that and have some fun off the very top, I got to go with the Ben Simmons drama, which I will, which I find fascinating. Just not as fascinating as I found Connor's act, honestly. So, again, I want to make very clear. The beef segment is coming up fast. We're doing it early today. I want to make sure you come in here. 9:40, so 20 minutes from right now. It's like kind of a routine. And it's I'm asking you to step out of your normal routine. Normally, you train yourself to be ready for it in the second hour. It's coming in the first hour. I've tried to hit you up with this as hard as I could, give you as much forewarning as possible. So now you know, 9:40, call with a beef, tweet with a beef, hit me with your beef. Let's
is
do
this
it.
The beef jerky segment?
Big Ben hurt once again. I got to admit, it's not like they did anything to help him out up front. And I've actually got his back on this. So we will talk about that a little bit later on. Let's get a break in here. It's been a great start to the NFL season. It's only going to get better at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. DraftKings is putting new customers in the center of the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Get in on the action right now. It's simple. You pick your lineup, you stay under the salary cap, and then you see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. DraftKings is safe, secure, and it's reliable. And the best part is you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Just download the DraftKings app right now. Use the code ROME. This week, new customers get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter the code ROME. Get your free shot at millions. Get your free shot with your first deposit. Once again, you have to use that code ROME, R-O-M-E. Only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. The Beef segment's now coming up in 15 minutes. We're down a person, so keep dialing. 1-800-636-8686. We're down a person, so keep hitting me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. O'Reilly Auto Parts is here to keep your car on the road with the right parts and advice from their professional parts people. So when it is time to replace your wiper blade, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. The professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even help you install your wiper blades. Free of charge. If it's tools you need, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. Ask about their free loaner tool program. There is no need to purchase a tool if you're going to use it only once, right? Pay a refundable deposit at the time of rental. That's all you do. And your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store has more than 80 specialty tools available to rent for your next repair. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. They are close, they are convenient, and they're known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service. From professional parts people you know you can trust, stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Some reaction off the top. Geoff is in. Quote, I think Connor has an excellent throwing arm. Regards, the dolly Connor chucked at the bus. Like I said, Geoff, he's done some things that are really regrettable, really reprehensible, things that I will not defend. That would be one of them. Heads from Bacon, quote, hey, Jim, what's this tree that Conor McGregor was talking about? Regards, Team Bake. Bacon, I said do not come in here and mock him for his accent and his pronunciations. Justin in Melbourne. Hey, Jim. Connor only needed to finish his song with 1, 2, 3, I tapped out to Habib. That I will allow. Brendan Webb. Hey, Jim. That Connor first pitch was scheme, Jim. Yours, Matt Nagy.
That's 100% scheme, Brad.
Mike in Mini. Jimmy. Yes, Connor threw that terrible first pitch on purpose and for marketing purposes. Just like how Joe Namath was marketing for the Jets with Susie Colbert.
Joe, it's been a tough season for Jet fans. What does it mean to you now when the team is struggling?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling. What we know is we can improve. Chad missed. Chad Pennington, our quarterback, missed the first part of the season, and we struggled. We're looking to next season. We're looking to make a noise now, and I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
Look, here's the thing. Quote, Jimmy, yes, Connor threw that terrible first pitch on purpose and for marketing purposes, just like how Joe Namath was marketing for the Jets with Susie Colbert. First of all, Connor did do what I said he did. He did that on purpose. It was brilliant. It was genius. Joe wasn't marketing. Listen, Joe is responsible for anything he says and anything he does. But maybe, if you know a guy is at a game and you know a guy is purportedly, allegedly, probably, almost assuredly smashed up, maybe you don't put him on TV. Maybe somebody goes, yeah, you know, that's not the best idea. Maybe we get him another time. Maybe we don't interview that guy. He's been hitting pretty hard tonight. Because, you know, Joe, man, Joe Namath is a good dude. Of course he's going to say yes. If a network comes to Joe Namath and says, hey, Joe, can you talk about the team? Can you talk about the Jets? He's going to say yes.
Yeah!
Granted, he should not have made a pass at the reporter asking him the question. But maybe somebody doesn't say, hey, let's go get that guy over there who's been getting hammered all game and put him on the air. You know how you prevent that? You don't go to that guy and ask him to do it. Now, I'm not taking this off of him. It's on him. He should have said no. Or somebody close to him should have said, hey, yo, Joe, not a good idea. Let's not do that. No, he's not doing that.
Thanks, Joe.
But I'm really curious to know whose idea was to ask him to do that when they knew what state he was in. Again, his responsibility. It's on him. It's on him. It's on him. He said it. He did it. He drank it. He struggled. But man, who thought that was a good idea? Carl and Prescott. Hey, Jim. What a great singer Connor is. Signed it, Yoko Ono. You're missing the point. I could not have been more clear and more obvious and more right in what I said. Why would you take a really good take of mine and try and turn it on its head and wreck it? Be quiet, Carl. Yeah, I got it. Unnamed member of the XR4TI. At Planet Wilson 1 says, Jim, my first pitch was terrible too. Regards, that dude who used to sell $2,500 answering machines in the 80s. Yeah, that dude would be this guy. And it wasn't my first pitch that was terrible. Every one of my pitches was terrible. They were terrible. Terrible. Thought I had it. Thought I was good. Actually, you know what? My pitches weren't terrible. It was my ability to get in to see the person that I had to pitch that was terrible. It was my inability to get by the receptionist that was terrible. It was my inability to get to the decision maker that was terrible. I just basically sucked at the whole thing. And finally, hey, Jim, make sure to ask Dana White about our favorite family of fighters. At Nick Diaz, 209, who fights Saturday at UFC 266 for the first time in 6 years. And what's next for at Nate Diaz, 209. Hashtag stocked in fisted hand. Yeah, thanks for the advice. I'll try and get to that. And you know there's nobody in my line of work that loves the Diaz family more than this guy. I love Nick and Nate. I love the 209. I love what those guys represent. You don't need to tell me how to do my job, although you always do. When we come back, what do you say you worry about you, and I'll worry about me, and I'll worry about my show? You worry about you. All you need to worry about is having one single beef. And not only that, it can be about anything you want. This is a really easy game. I know you're bitter. I know you're pissed. Just give it to me. Bring it to me. What do you have a beef about? 1-800-636-8686. Or hit me with it on social media at Jim Rome. Beef segment's coming up next. First up, here is your sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, it's time. What's your beef? Not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered. All come in 4-ounce bags so you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares Old Trapper. What is your beef? If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, there it is to my left, the famous giant plastic tower of beef. I'm looking for your beefs. On the phones, 1-800-636-8686. You can get through right now, and I will get you on the air with a beef. or you can hit me up on social media, on Twitter, at Jim Rome. I will even start you off with a personal beef. I got beef, and this is something that happens fairly frequently. When I come to work in the morning, it is dark. It's still night, and I'm trying to get to work. I've got a whole process where I got to get in, got to be on time, got to start, you know, fired up, got my caffeine, ready to roll. There's always that one a-hole. Not always, but I'm going to say once or twice a week where I'll be on the freeway. And I hate to jinx this, but I literally have never had a ticket in my adult life. And I'm proud of that fact. So I'm careful. There's always that one a-hole, though, who's got one of their headlights out. And if that car is far enough back, what do you think it is? You think it's a cop, of course. So instead of barreling down the highway at 85 to get to work, I think I'm smart. I think I've picked up a motorcycle cop back, you know, half mile back. So then I'm on the brakes and I'm just driving at 58, minding my own business, not going to get caught, going to keep my record intact, only to find out it's some a-hole with a headlight out who hasn't fixed it. Hey, idiot, it's dangerous. It's irresponsible. You're going to get a ticket and you have the rest of us thinking you're a motorcycle cop, man. Fix it.
I am dangerous.
That's my beef. All right, Wells in the 360. My beef is with CJ in the Bay. Dude just needs to go away. He is worse than Matt in L.A. Please quit for good today. And all the clones will cheer, hooray.
Hooray!
I don't know, Wells. You saying that somebody's the worst ever, you know, if it were somebody else saying it, maybe. Rome, my beef is with people who eat their corn on a cob typewriter style. You're 35 years old and eating your food like a toddler. Zach in Philly. Good job, Zach. I like that. That's good. And Wisco Baron tweets, hi, Jim. My beef is with leaf blower guy. The dude with two primary missions. One, to spray debris on my freshly washed ride as I drive by, and two, to show up at my neighbor's house at 7 a.m. on Saturday to blast me from my slumber. I've kind of covered the leaf blower as being the worst invention ever, but I feel you. Headley Stone, quote, I got beef with players that celebrate a broken up pass like they just won the Super Bowl when their team is down 48-25. Pancho Villa tweets, hey, Jim, my beef is with, no, actually, it's, hi, Jim, Rex here. Here's my beef. Why do they call it taking a dump when you're not actually taking it anywhere? Shouldn't it be leaving a dump?
You have a big dump in your pants.
Good one, Pancho. And Mock Moda, quote, my beef is these bright green plastic kid signs telling me to slow down on every block. Hey, how about telling your kids to stay the hell out the damn street?
Don't forget Mark Moda.
Quigs, 1225. Hey, Jim, my beef is with Kia drivers. Collectively, there's not a group of worse drivers on the planet, and that includes women. Damn, dude went there. At Eagle Flyers tweets, hey, Jim, it's Mike McCarthy. My beef is that there's not enough beef anywhere. Whenever I need it, which is always, there's not enough. I thought Dallas was beef capital of the world, yet I'm constantly searching for more beef. Not bad. Not bad and not unfair. Nick Jansen, quote, my beef is with my idiot coworker leaving 7 seconds on the microwave. Hey, loser, I bet you never return to your VHS tapes rewound also. Now I need to reset this damn thing to make this stupid hot pocket and get back to my dead end joke of a job. Dude, you sound miserable. I feel you though, Nick. I agree with you. Come on, man. It's communal. It's a community microwave. Reset that thing. This is not your kitchen. This is not your personal microwave. Reset it, man. And if your food's going to blow up in it, clean it. Ronnie, quote, My beef is with the people that ride around a parking lot for 10 minutes to find the closest space to the big box store and then walk 5 miles through that store. Good job, Ronnie. It's Slick Ricky. Yo, Jim, my beef is with the guy who calls me every day asking if I want to refinance my student loan. Hey, knob, I didn't even go to college. Stop calling me. Gabriel Benson. My beef is hearing NFL announcers saying a team has to punt. It's fourth down. Teams don't have to punt. Try saying they will probably punt. Nostradamus? In fact, you look at the analytics, teams are going for it more and more and more and more on fourth down, no matter where they are on the field. JW Patman, my beef is with gimme guy, the guy who blasts his 10-foot putt by the hole and has a 5-foot downhiller coming back and just picks it up. Who the hell do you think you are? A gimme is maybe 2 feet, tops. Seriously, he's right, Ben Crenshaw. And Wooden Laconic, my beef is with rocking division champs gear when repping your team. Be better than that. Jake in Buffalo, my beef is with 24/7 phone sex hotlines that promise live hot phone sex only to find out my phone input ports are too small. Robert Morris, Jim, in the locker room, everyone hates middle urinal guy. But my beef is with naked fat dude who takes 15 minutes shaving in the mirror. To get to a shower, I've got to pass by this obese hill of flesh. I've had to reschedule my workouts and my therapy. Well done, Robert. That might be your leader in the locker room. All right, let's go to the phones. So far, so good. Let's go to Alaska. I love it. Matt in Alaska. Matt, what's going on? What's your beef, Matt?
Hey, Romy. I got a beef with Jeep guy. You know, this guy rides around in his rig that he's got jacked up to Jesus, and he's got these three taglines that he lives by. You know, the first one is life is better topless. All right, man, we get it. Ha, ha, ha. The second one, it's a Jeep thing you wouldn't understand. Well, you know, let me let you in on a little secret. We don't want to understand. And the last one that really sticks in my craw is that sticker he has along the top of his windshield that says, if you can read this, roll me over. The hell would I do that for? You are upside down for a reason. I'm going to put a little space between myself and you before you are, quote-unquote, rolled over and mobile again. War the Rome family renting a goose-wrangling dog next summer in Wisco, and war that Alaskan lifestyle and bagging 2 grizzly bears. My man, I'm out.
Got a boy, rack him. Normally, I want you to keep moving on the beef segment. You know, bam, 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 bam. That was a good phone call. That was a good phone call. Nice job, Matt. Well done. Let's go to Snowbird. This guy's no stranger to the program. Mike in Snowbird. Mike, what's your beef?
Hey, Jim. Everybody who flies through the ATL shares my beef. You land at gate A1, and your connector is at D90, 20 miles away. The guy who schedules this is a butthole. Come on, it's all Delta. Why can't it be closer?
My man. Nice job, Mike. He's right. That's a big airport. Hey, Alvin. Hey, unnamed member of the XR4TI running the board. Add that to your butthole mix.
Butthole.
Or to Alvin's butthole mix. That's a big, big airport, the ATL. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to San Diego. Jay, good to have you. Jay, what's your beef?
Jim, my beef is with the San Diego Padres being 98% chance to make the playoffs last week and 1% today. I'm out.
I hear you. It's been a tough year. It's been a tough, tough year. That year has not gone the way as planned or as expected. You know I'm coming here on the beef segment. Let's go to Omaha, Nebraska. Kathleen, what is your beef?
Alter Ego, another singing competition? That's great. And they're competing as avatars? There's only one avatar that matters, where Swedish-German baby boy is Johannes is the front man and songwriter, and they are the only Avatar worth knowing, and the king welcomes you to Avatar country.
You got it, Kathleen. She loves baby boy Johannes, doesn't she? Kathleen, there's still nobody like her. I'd call her a unicorn, but that's not really true. But there's nobody like her. Let's go to Lincoln, Nebraska. Nick, good to have you, Nick. What's your beef?
My beef is with elementary school fundraisers. You just hit me up for $200 on the plant sale, and before my check even clears, you're trying to hit me up for the readathon for my kid? Hey, PTO, maybe give it a minute. Not to mention, you want me to hit up family members to donate money for my kid to read in their own room? What's that about, Rome? Appreciate you. I'm out.
Appreciate you too, Nick. I got one. And this one hits close to home because my wife is somebody who's super, super active with the schools and with the baseball program and public schools. I mean, this is what she does. My beef is with you parents that do not contribute to the baseball or football fund when the rest of us do and we got to pick you up. Yet you're more than happy to take part in everything that our kids do, but we're paying for it and you're not. I understand. Times are tough. However, we're all doing it. So why aren't you? And if in fact times are tough and financially it's too big of a commitment, there are other ways to help out. Contribute your time. Volunteer your time. Ask, is there anything that we can do to help out? Because it's kind of hard to write this check. We're having a tough time right now, but we're having a good experience. Our son or our daughter getting a lot out of the program. Can we help out another way? Rather than doing nothing, sitting on your hands, and most of all, not paying like the rest of us. Wow. I bookended with beefs. Good job, you all. Well done. Good job, clones. Good job, what's left of the XR4TI. That's a really good beef segment. When we come back, the Golf Channel's Rex Hoggard joins me. Stay tuned.